Sarah, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great.
Now, just first off, what exactly do you define as a Down syndrome novel?
So one of the key sort of ways, I guess, to identifying the difference between a Down syndrome novel and a novel that includes a character with Down syndrome is in what happens to the novel if you remove Down syndrome. So in a novel that includes a character with Down syndrome, so a really good example of that is something like Foal's Bread by Gillian Mears. The main character has a son with Down syndrome, and although he's a very important element in the story, taking away his Down syndrome or removing the addition of Down syndrome doesn't actually affect the narrative anyway. It doesn't really change anything. So if you remove Down syndrome from a novel and basically the novel kind of caves in, like there's nothing there to sort of hold it up, that's a Down syndrome novel. So a good example of something like that would be something like The Memory Keeper's Daughter, which is this lovely novel about a baby that gets born with Down syndrome and given away and then sort of adopted by the nurse that helped deliver her. But if you remove that character or you remove the Down syndrome, there's nothing in the story to kind of keep it moving. Like, it's the main sort of significant element of the story. And so that's kind of how you differentiate between a novel that includes Down syndrome and then a novel that relies on Down syndrome in order to function.
Why do you think novels focus on family members as opposed to the person with the disability?
Well, I think that's a tricky question because I think that's sort of something that's very much sort of writer to writer kind of based. And I couldn't necessarily sort of answer for other writers. But in my research, I think there's a couple of factors. I think one of them is very much connected to this idea of not sort of co-opting or assuming voice. They're not kind of taking a voice that you aren't necessarily comfortable or capable of putting down on the page. But I also think that there's an element, you know, William Faulkner, who very famously wrote about a character with a sort of unidentified intellectual disability, Benjamin Compson in The Sound and the Fury, he wrote in a series of essays and interviews about his sort of, I guess he kind of defined it as like the fool or the loony at that time in the sort of American Gothic tradition. And he talked very much about what the benefits of a character with an intellectual disability could give a practitioner. So like, could you actually do something you would never be able to do otherwise in a novel if you, in fact, looked at the world through the point of view of the character with an intellectual disability or an intellectual difference? And I think in The Sound and the Fury, he kind of proves that you can, in fact, look through the eyes of a character with The Sound and the Fury, quite a severe intellectual disability, and see something very different that, in fact, perhaps makes the book more literary or even, I guess, more interesting. So I think there's a few different reasons for why we avoid the character with an intellectual disability, specifically the character with Down syndrome. But I think there's also like social reasons for that. So there is very much a culture of low expectation around people with Down syndrome. And I think that kind of folds into fiction as well. And one of the reasons that I think we often see the novel told through the mother's point of view specifically is that we're able, I think, to easily empathise with what it must be a mother of a child with Down syndrome. So it often kind of like is a bit more like a trauma narrative or like a parental narrative. And more often than not, the Down syndrome novel, the one that kind of builds the entire narrative around Down syndrome, is actually told through the point of view of the mother.
So the famous novel The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime by Mark Haddon, it's narrated by a boy with autism. So is there a similar book focusing on Down syndrome, and do you think it's an angle that has potential?
Well, I certainly think, I mean, Mark Haddon has now done several sort of different disability texts, and he wrote this amazing radio play that was then turned into a film called Coming Down the Mountain, and it's about two brothers, one of which has Down syndrome, which I actually think is an incredible work. And the film itself is fantastic. And the young guy in it with Down syndrome is brilliant. So I think Mark Haddon himself is sort of, or has always been kind of working away at showing different intellectual disabilities and how they, in fact, could be represented. There are very, very few novels that, for adults, that use the perspective of a character with Down syndrome. So one of the novels in Australia is a novel called Water Underwater by Peter Ricks, which came out, I think, in 2011. And then my novel, which is called Sing Fox to Me, which has a dual perspective. So it's three narrators, and one of them has Down syndrome. I certainly think that there is an enormous space in fiction, not just literary fiction, but all fiction, for characters with disabilities. And I don't necessarily, I mean, for myself, I don't have an intellectual disability, so I can't necessarily speak to memoir or to sort of autobiography. But I do think that, like making any character, like, you know, constructing a male character, I'm female, or a character that's older than myself, both of which kind of exist in my novel. I think there is certainly space out there to imagine yourself as a writer into the space of disability, assuming, of course, that you have, I guess, the sort of groundwork to kind of get there, like you do with anything.
And just before we let you go, Sarah, do you believe representation of Down syndrome in popular media is set to change in the future?
Look, I really hope so. There's this wonderful book called Greater Expectations, which is by this writer and researcher, Jan Gothard, and she talks about in that book that representations of Down syndrome are continually changing and evolving. I certainly think that we have an enormous way to go with the sort of culture, I guess, of low expectation of Down syndrome, but I think there's an enormous space out there to be sort of filled with all kinds of stories, fictional stories, memoirs, autobiographies, stories told by people with Down syndrome about their experience, and then stories, fictional stories told by writers, whether they're disabled or not.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
Thanks so much for having me. I've loved it. Cheers.